following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
God, I thank you that you have been working this vision out in us for many, many years. Lord, something that has been so important for us is to become a refuge for people. People in all different walks of life, in different seasons of their life, in different stages of their life. Lord, you've asked us to be a refuge. And so we take that very seriously. And this morning, as we talk about what it is to be a refuge, Lord, we want to just have your clarity on this. Lord, what does it mean for us corporately as the body of Christ here in Huntington Beach? But what does it also mean to us individually? How am I to be a refuge? And so this morning, as we just pour over this idea of refuge, Lord, would you make that very clear to us by the power of your Spirit living in us, present with us? Lord, be with us in this place this morning. Amen. Amen. I remember 13 years ago, my wife and I got married and we moved into our first place. It was a one bedroom, one bathroom apartment on Florida Street in Huntington Beach. And I think we paid like $700 in rent or $750. It was like, yes, we found our place that would actually fit inside of our budget at the time. And so we moved in and I, you know what? We have such fond memories of that place. I remember we had this little backyard between the apartment and the garage. And it was like our first kind of like plot of land that was ours. And we could do whatever we wanted with. And so we planted things back there and we cared for it. And it was so cool. And I could take you back to that place. It has such great memories. We had a fireplace that was awesome. And I just remember it so clearly as if it was like yesterday. And then we had our first child, and we couldn't be in that place anymore because it just didn't fit. So we moved like four doors down to a place that had a loft. It was a one bedroom with a loft. And Bethany and I were in the loft, and Abby, our first, is in the bedroom down below. And I can remember that place. I remember when Bethany was pregnant and we were laying in bed. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And she says, Jeff, Taylor's on the way. That's our middle child. Taylor's coming. We need to go. And I remember that. I could take you back to that place at that moment. And I remember also too, we would have the, at the time we were doing college ministry, and we would fill that living room up because it wasn't very big with tons of college students. And it was a little smelly at times, but it was awesome. We loved it. I have such fond memories of sitting in there and teaching and just the place being full and you couldn't even see everyone and they were tucked away. And that memory and that thought of the place just takes me back to that moment. Because here's why. Places matter. Places have that power to bring us back into those pivotal life situations and moments and memories and oftentimes emotions that go around with that. How about this place? The DMV. What goes along with the DMV, right? Frustration. What in the world? How long am I waiting? That sort of thing. How about this one? Disneyland. What kind of emotions and memory? Well, a lot like the DMV, right? It's very similar. Very similar, right? No, you have fond memories at times, especially growing up as a kid, and some of you have had tickets to get on rides, and others like, oh, what are tickets, right? But the emotions and the memories of going to Disneyland with your parents and getting in and just feeling like, oh, this place is magical. Places have that. And for me, especially on Christmas time, I remember back to my grandma's, and she had blue upholstery on the furniture, and sometimes it was covered. And sometimes I remember back when we were making cookies together and walking in and just smelling cookies. The wood cabinetry in her kitchen, I remember these things because places have power in our lives. And they can take us back to those very important moments of life. Here's the thing, church is a place. It's not the place. That's not the most important thing about church. We've been talking about what the most important thing about church is. It's a person, right? It's the person of Jesus Christ. He is our refuge. In fact, one of the things we say here at Refuge is it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all over the place. It's all about Jesus. We never want to lose sight of the person of Jesus. But then secondly, Refuge is a people. Right? We've talked about this last week with Pastor Bill. Refuge is a people. Y'all are a refuge. That when people walk through those doors, you become that refuge for people. In fact, Bill used the analogy last week of water, right? And the water reflecting whatever it is that he would took the picture of. He showed us some pictures. And the water is reflecting the images that are in front of it. In fact, he even said, like, dirty water at times can still reflect. Even though we're not perfect, we can still reflect Christ to the people around us. So people matter. And this morning, we're going to talk about the place of refuge, this place called refuge. Now, I will just say, I have great fond memories of church. It just because the way I grew up and the places that I grew up in, church brings to me memories of baptism and getting baptized in the church. And family, when maybe sometimes people didn't have family, they could go to this church and the church that I grew up in and have family. And there was this, I remember potluck days. I remember the kitchen, the church I grew up in, the kitchen was tied right onto the sanctuary. And so you'd walk into the church on potluck days and through the whole sermon, you could just smell food from the kitchen coming in. Right? Just those memories. And I remember with the orange kind of upholstery on the chairs at my church. And some of you have those really great memories of meeting a spouse and getting married at that church. Or maybe raising your family at that church. And you remember you'd go there together and you'd go to the Sunday school together. And it was a big part of who you are. And you have a lot of great memories about church. Some of us, some people on the other hand, they have terrible memories with church, right? I remember I tried to go to that youth group. And the place that seemed like it was just a bunch of cliques. And I never really fit into that youth group. I felt like the place I'm supposed to be able to belong, I never really could fit in. And maybe as an adult, you felt that same way. There was this idea that, man, I thought church was open to people, that I could come in, and it felt like I never could connect at church. Maybe you have that kind of feeling towards church, or maybe someone, the pastor or someone at the church, so misrepresented God with who they were that you felt like, I knew it was a crock all along. I'm not going back to that place again. I thought well, I was coming to seek God, and all I saw was false behavior, hypocritical behavior. Maybe that was your experience of church, and so you've just never come back, but you're back here this morning, and we're glad you are. That maybe God is doing something new inside of you in this place. So places, listen, places matter because they bring back emotions and feelings and things that go along. So I want to just be so clear on this. Jesus is the refuge. He is the person that matters most in this place, right? We are people. That matters. That really does matter, the kind of people that we are. And that's why we're even talking about this morning. Our actions, our attitudes, our behaviors matter in this place. The place doesn't matter as much as those other two, but the place matters. This place matters. In fact, I thought we'd start this morning with just let me tell you how we got this place. People are always walking up to us and saying, how in the world did you guys end up on Beach in Edinger in the middle of the marketplace? How did you get to be here? I mean, this building must be a fortune, right? How did you, do you rent? No, we own. It was an amazing God story, and I'd love to share it with you. I kind of went to Bill and Alan this week, and I said, hey, just account for me like how it all came about. And so I want to share it with you because I think it helps to understand that God has put us here. Again, not the building is by no means the most important thing. It's just part of the story. It's a tool used by God. But it's important, I think, for you to know how we got the place. In 2003, they actually purchased the place in 2003. And then they began a build out of the building. It didn't look like this. I remember when I first walked in this building, you could see from front to back. There's no walls built up yet. So they built a lot of walls in those 2 years. Bill became the pastor, our senior pastor, became the pastor of Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach in 1997. He and the board thought, hey, we've got to start building, thinking of growth. That the church is starting to grow. We're starting to outgrow our building. We need to start looking for a new place to go. So let's set aside finances in order to make that happen, should God give us a place to go. So they began setting apart 10%. One of the first buildings they looked at in 1998 was this building. There was a Burlington Coat Factory, and they actually approached Burlington Coat Factory to buy this building. And the bank, they said, could we afford this building? Could we do it? And you know what the answer was? Nope. Keep trying, right? Not going to happen. But so they went back to aggressively saving, aggressively searching for the place to be. They looked at a couple of different places. And about 4 to 5 years later, in 2002, they again approached the owners of the Burlington Coat Factory. And at this point, this building, they had moved across the street to the Huntington Center, which was the Huntington Center at the time. And they were over there now. And so they came again and said, hey, would you be willing to sell? And at this point, they had changed their tune and said, yes, we'd be willing to enter into negotiations for this building. At the time, Huntington Beach, as a city, was looking to kind of turn this into the Edwards Corridor or the Edinger Corridor. They wanted to bring businesses back into the area again because in some ways it had become somewhat of a ghost town as far as shopping and everything had gone on. The city of Huntington Beach made Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach made an offer and they were ready to accept it. But before they did that, they went to the city because they wanted to know what the city felt like about having a church in this place. And Bill recalls this. He says, there were about 8 to 10 city officials around the table. 2 or 3 of them had voiced minor concerns or fundamental concerns about the zoning of this neighborhood not being meant for a church. One woman finally spoke up after hearing a negative remark and said, come on, guys, we have to start filling up some of those empties on Edinger. Because there was nothing here. And if you're kind of new to the area, this was an empty building. There was an empty building next door. There were none of the condos. There was no hotel on the corner over here. There was nothing, right? It was kind of a dead zone. And so she says, we need to fill up some of these empties. They made their offer to Burlington Coat Factory in 2003, and Burlington accepted. They opened escrow and had a lock and locked in a price and a contract with Burlington. And just about that time, the shopping center across the street was developed and broke ground. And the escrow of this place went up higher and higher and higher, so much so that they could borrow against what they had already gained by the time they signed the contract. They could borrow against to start doing some of the build out of the area. Talk about a God thing. I think Alan said it best. Here's what he said as I talked to him. He said, we literally asked the Lord to show himself strong and mighty on our behalf and open the door to purchase our own property. We did our due diligence. We prayed. We sought the Lord. We saved down payments. But this was so out of our zone of familiarity. God's timing and location was spot on as it always is. And I will just tell you, the reason why I tell you that, not because this is the only thing, the building is so important somehow, but the idea that God moved us to this place as a sort of a beacon of light in the city of Huntington Beach, that there's this beach boulevard of all places is right there. Edinger, such a busy thing. People drive by every day on their way to work and shopping and all that. There's a shopping center with thousands of people across the street, and God put us here. If anything, I would say that is to say to us, we have a huge responsibility that we need to steward this place well. That this is a place that God said, I want my people to be here, and here's what I want them to be. I want them to be a refuge. I want them continually to think about why I put them there. Why did I put them in the middle of the marketplace? So that they would be a refuge to people who drive by. In fact, it's God's heart. It has always been his heart for his people to offer refuge to others. In fact, it's his heart to offer refuge to people as well. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. Let me set this passage up for you as you're turning there into Joshua chapter 20. Here's what's happened. The people of God have been established, or God's given them the promised land. And one of the things he's asked them to do is to divide up the land amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. Except there's one tribe that doesn't get land. Do you know who it is? The Levites, right? They're the priests. They're the pastors of the day, right? They represent God to the people and the people to God. And so in order for them to be able to do that, they had to be spread out amongst the people. And in fact, instead of property, instead of land, they get 48 cities spread throughout the tribes of Israel. And in 6 of those cities, God says, I want you to label 6 of those cities, cities of refuge. I want you to label 6 of those cities, cities of refuge. What are the cities of refuge for, God? Well, he says this. He says, if someone were out in the field, let's say working. In fact, I'll just read it to you. Deuteronomy 19:5. It says this. As a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head of that axe slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies accidental death, this man could run to one of the cities of refuge and seek safe harbor there. Here's the thing. In the day, back in the day, it was life for life, blood for blood. If someone killed a relative of yours, the oldest person in your family could go kill that person who did the murder, who committed the murder. It was life for life. And so this person working out in the field one day, and the axe head comes off his axe innocently, and now he's in trouble. He's fearing for his own life. And so God says, I need a place for that person who's scared and afraid that they could run to this place of refuge. Look at Joshua chapter 20, verse 1. Here's what it says. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses. And this account is both in Deuteronomy and in Numbers, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, check this out, they shall take him into the city as what? One of them. And give him a place that he may dwell among them. You have a place in this place. You are one of us. Then, if the avenger of blood, verse 5, pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hands, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of one of his high priests in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. 7-8 is listing off where those cities will be found, the names of those cities. Look at verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger who dwelt among them, that whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. In Deuteronomy 19, verse 3, God says, I want you to build roads to those cities. I'm so serious about this that I want people to be able to seek refuge, that when you move into those properties that I'm giving you, I want roads leading from your city to the cities of refuge, so that people who are in trouble, who are scared, who are worried about an accidental death could get there and receive harbor and justice. Right? That the people of those cities of harbor, the Levites of the day, would sit and preside over that idea of saying, listen, we hear your case. It sounds like you're innocent. Come join us. Become one of us. And did you notice? They're there until the high priest dies. So they could be there for their entire lives. This is a safe harbor for you, they would say. Become one of us. You can't go back, but you can come and be with us. We'll provide that ministry for you. And I believe with all my heart, that's what refuge is supposed to be all about. That this place, people are coming from the outside and coming in and saying, I'm scared, I'm worried, I don't know what to do, where do I go? Would you be with me? Would you walk alongside of me? And we say this, you can be one of us. You can join this city of refuge. You can be a part of what's going on here, a part of this family. In fact, over the years, the 13 years that I've been here, I've seen this happen in the halls of refuge. That you all have been refuge for people who come in, and maybe you were one of them at time, who are spiritually confused, who are wondering, I don't know what to believe, I don't know where to go, I hear about God, I believe he's calling me to something, I don't know what that is, and we walk beside those people, and we say, this is a safe place for you to find that out, to discover who God is calling you to be. Refuge from spiritual confusion, refuge from the lies of the enemy. How many of you guys, this has been a refuge from the lies of the enemy? That you have struggled throughout the week, you've heard negative things from people, maybe from the enemy himself, and you've said, listen, I need to get to church. I need to come to my refuge, and I need to hear from you, Lord. And the Lord spoke to you, whether through the word of God, through a brother or sister in the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he spoke against those lies of the enemy. This is a refuge from the lies of the enemy. This place has been a refuge from people who've lost loved ones. That the time of the most difficult times in their life and brokenness, the pain of cancer, the severe pain, that people have come to this place and said, I just need you to lift me up in prayer. I just need you to care about me. I just need you to know my name. I need you to walk beside me in this. This has been a refuge from addiction, from loneliness. I'm so thankful for the vision that this is a place where you can come and people care. That we all at times wrestle with loneliness, but knowing that, hey, if I could just get to church on Wednesday night, I know there'll be a group of people. I know we're going to study the Word of God. God will speak to me, and there will be people who I can pray with and will walk beside me. Joblessness, a refuge from joblessness, a refuge from hunger. That literally on Thursdays, there's this church is teeming with volunteer people who've said, come in, we want to minister to you, we'll provide food. But that's only a small thing of what we do to provide for that hunger. But we also, we love on people and care for people and pray over people and have and talk with people. That Thursday night ministry is incredible and is absolutely a refuge. A refuge from relational struggles, marriage struggles, friendship struggles, that people have come and said, listen, we're struggling. I don't know what to do. And I need you. I need to seek refuge in this place. Will you listen? Will you point me in the right direction? That this place has become a little refuge for people. Now, I want to qualify this because some of you may be thinking, well, when that was going on in my life, they weren't there. When I was struggling with this, you weren't there. I've been to churches before. They didn't. And I will just say, we're not perfect at it. We are not perfect at figuring out how all the different means and all the different ways that people need refuge. We have not been perfect over the years at this area. But I will say this. Our intention and our heart and the conversation that we have as a staff on a regular basis is how could we do more? Like, what else would you call us to, Lord? And I'll tell you, the heart's desire, it would be to meet everyone's needs. Oh, that would be so good. I'll just tell you, the wrestling and the conversations that we have in our offices, it would go so much better if we could just meet everyone's needs. It would be awesome, but we can't. And there's times when we can't because we shouldn't, and there's can't because we just haven't heard right. We haven't followed right. Maybe we've been in error. But I will just say, the church, we fight for this. This is the area that we feel like, man, God has called us to be a refuge to people. And we're not always, I qualify that and just say, we're not always perfect at it. But we're growing. We're fighting for that vision to stay true in this place. And I will just say this, you're a part of that vision. If you think about, if it was just up to Bill and Alan, right, to figure this whole thing out, you figure out how we're supposed to be a refuge. And then when people come, you two be the refuge. Impossible, right? Or no, it's just for the staff, just for those people who those seven or eight people, they should figure out how to be a refuge for everyone, right? No, here's the incredible thing. You are that refuge. We look to Christ as the refuge. He is the one that covers over all of our inadequacies, our hurts, our pains, and our struggles, and we go to Him first and foremost. He's the person of refuge. Secondly, listen, we are the people of refuge. You have such amazing opportunity to provide that refuge for the people even just sitting around you this morning, that God would call you to that. Here's why it's so important. We have to go back and we look at Joshua 20 and we say, hey, in a pivotal time in Israel, God thought it was so important that He provided refuge for His people. We believe the same thing is true today, that God has put us in the middle of the marketplace right here in Huntington Beach, positioned us perfectly to be a refuge for people who walk through those doors. And maybe that was you at some point. So what does refuge mean to us? I have some things up here I thought of that I jotted down that you could take a picture of if you want. You could write it down or you could just listen. So here are the things that I believe that God has called us to do in this place. Refuge is a place where people live what they believe, what they stand for by reflecting God who is a refuge. That when people walk through these doors, they should see people who are living what they believe. They believe, if we believe God is a refuge and our strength and our help in every way, in our trials and our difficulties, then we need to be that for other people. Refuge is a place who are living out what they believe. Refuge is a place where people get connected to the family of God. That one of the things we are always fighting for is to be a family. We always fight for that. That's a conversation we're always having is how do we get to know people better? How do we take a big group like this and make it smaller? How do we become more like a family? And that will always be the vision of refuge and the heart behind refuge. We need to be more and more family-like. Refuge is a place where people and ministries offer safe harbor and healing in Jesus' name. We've got about 40 ministries or so, and I think we could always add more. that offer this. Come and be with us. Come meet with us on a weekly basis or a bi-weekly basis or once a month and get healing of community with us. And we'll take you before Jesus. If there's something going on in your life and you need help, then this ministry is designed to pray for you and point you to our true refuge. That's one of the things that we do here. We offer that safe harbor here at Refuge. Refuge is a place where people come and they learn about the God of Refuge and they worship Him and they build relationship with Him and He provides security and strength in their lives. That's why we're so committed to teaching the Word of God, because we want people not just to know who we are or this place, we want people to know God and walk with Him and understand His heart for them and His love for them. And we want people to develop passionate relationship with Him, that they would grow and grow and grow so that they know when times come and struggles come, because they always do, they can turn to Him as the refuge. That, yeah, we want to be there for you, but the God of Refuge wants to be there for you as well. We want people to know Him more. That's what this place is about. Refuge is a place that is filled with passionate people who genuinely care about those people God has put in their path and those who walk through the doors of Refuge. Genuinely care. Genuinely care. That people in this place, as they get to know you and they go know your name, that you would be able to say, I know there's people at this home, this building, this place that genuinely care about me. They have a heart for me. They have a heart for my family. I know there's a safe environment there. I need to go to that place. Refuge is a place that when you show up, we are glad you came and they are welcoming, warm, and inviting. You are family. And there is someone who typifies this so well, and many of you know her. She's at the front door oftentimes. Her name is Annie Berry. You know Annie? Yeah. And as I'm writing this message this week, I'm like, holy cow. Unintentionally, this woman represents who we want to be. You come in, and what does she give?
Hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses, right? She's out there hugging people on a regular basis. And I'm not a hugger, but I love an Annie Berry hug, right? But that's not intentional. That wasn't something that Bill came to her one day and said, would you just start hugging everybody who walks through the door, right? It's genuinely who she is. And I think typifies who we want to be. We want to be people who say, listen, this is a warm and inviting place for you to come and be part of a family. And it's not just one person. It's not just two people. The hallways are filled with people just like Annie who say, I love you. I'm praying for you. What can I do today for you? Is there anything that I can do? I want to be there for you. The hallways are filled with those people. You all are those people. And I think that's why, because God has said, listen, there's churches that do lots of great things. And one of the things that we want to be known for here at Refuge is to be that refuge for people who say, this is a warm and inviting place for you to come and be and experience who God is. And the last one, two more. Refuge is a place where you want the people you know who need refuge to come and join you because you believe it will make a difference in their lives. That you have come and experienced what this family is like, so much so that you would go to work and someone's saying, I am struggling in my marriage, I'm struggling in my life, things are not going well. And you would be able to say, I know where I go in those times. I go to church, right? And I don't just go to church to go to church. I go to church because I know there's people who care about me in that place. And you would believe that so much that you would be able to say, I want somebody else to experience this. I'm going to invite my neighbor. I'm going to invite my relative. I want them to be a part of what is going on here at Refuge. The last one says, Refuge is a place where people matter. And here's why. Because people matter to God. Joshua chapter 20, he said, that guy who accidentally killed someone and now is afraid for his family and his life, I want him to be able to go someplace and experience this refuge. All the way back in Joshua chapter 20. And today in Huntington Beach, he says, I want somebody who's walking by or driving by on Edinger to see this beacon called Refuge, that they could walk through those doors and say, listen, I don't know what to do, but God would say to that person, you matter. That matters. This is a place where people matter. I got something I want to read to you. Garrison Keillor, who had a kind of a radio broadcast program, he tells this story about a memory that he had. Allow me to read it to you. He talked about a storm home He's from the Midwest. He's out. His family lives out on the farm, but he gets bussed into school. And so in times of inclement weather, of blizzards and whatnot, they had to have storm homes. And so he recounts this story. Allow me to read it to you this morning. He says this: Mr. Hedman was the principal then, and though it was September, he was always thinking ahead to winter and to the blizzards that would come every year. And on the first day of school, each of us children who rode the bus in from the country was handed a little slip of paper that said, "Your storm home is blank." And then we were each assigned to someone's home in town, where if the blizzard came during the school day, they wouldn't try to ship us all the way back home through buses, but we would go to our storm home and spend the night there. My storm home was the Krugers, an old couple back then who lived in a little green cottage down by the lake. And I can see it now because I walked past it so many times looking at my storm home over the years. It was a beautiful green cottage and everything was so arranged about it, so neat and so delicate. It was the kind of house that if you were a child and were lost in a dark forest and you came across it in a clearing, you would know that there was a kindly old couple living there who would take you in and rescue you, and that you were a lucky child who had gotten into a story with a happy ending. They became very big in my imagination, Mr. and Mrs. Krueger, and there were many times I walked by the house and I felt like introducing myself to them. I felt like saying, "I'm the kid who, if there's a blizzard, I'll come and stay with you." I wanted to believe with all my heart that I hadn't just been assigned to the Krugers, that they had come down to school and they'd picked me out of the crowd. And they'd said, him, I want him, the one, that skinny kid over there. We want him, in case there's a blizzard, to stay with us. I often dreamed about going to them when things got hard at home. Blizzards aren't the only storms, you know, and not necessarily the worst thing that can happen in a child's life. And I often dreamed about going and knocking on their door, and she'd open the door and she'd say, "Ah, it's you. I knew you'd come someday. I'm so glad to see you. Won't you come in and get out of those wet clothes? Come on in the kitchen, sit down, and I'll make you some chocolate. Would you like an oatmeal cookie or something?" We'd play cards and then they'd tuck me in for the night. I never did go there. We didn't get any blizzards that came during the day that year or the year after. He says, they were convenient blizzards, evening, weekend blizzards. But they became a big part of my imagination, and I always thought I could go there to the Krueger's home. And I would just say that's what refuge is. Refuge is that place that people drive by and they think, "I could go there. I could go there. That's a safe place to go. I need that right now. There's storms in my life, things that are out of my control, things that I'm questioning and pondering, and I just need to talk to someone." And people could say, "I can go to that place. That's my storm home. I could enter through those doors and people will warmly invite me and welcome me like the Krugers did. And this could be a home for me." I believe that's what God's called us to do. He's called us to be good at providing refuge for people. So, one more thing. I would just say this. The cool thing about this refuge is not the place, it's the people, right? Y'all are the refuge that people come and they see for the first time. Our parking lot guys out in the parking lot ministry, they're the first faces people see. You see the Hello team when you walk in. You see Annie Berry and her greeters as they hand you a bulletin. This is the place that should be refuge. The next step in should be y'all with warm welcoming and inviting. "Hey, come in. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Sit by me. It feels like something's wrong. Can I pray for you?" That should be what this refuge family and home is all about, but it's not about the place. This is just a concentration of people who've caught the vision that we're to be a refuge. And you just take this morning probably 1,500 or so people that come to this building and you concentrate all those people together and you have this powerful dynamic of people who believe that they're a refuge. But you don't all stay here all day or all week, right? You disperse out amongst your families and your work and your friends. And guess what? God has said, "Listen, you're not just to be a refuge here. You're supposed to be a refuge wherever you go. You're a portable refuge." In fact, one of the things we say here all the time is refuge is any place where God's people do God's business. Refuge is any place where God's people do God's business. So wherever you go, you have the mindset of, I've been provided this amazing, incredible God who loves me and has been a refuge for me. I'm part of a family that when struggles come and trials come, I know where I go. I have this refuge that is the people. But now I need to be that refuge for people, maybe who never even come to this place, but I know that I could be a refuge for someone in my family or someone at work or one of my friends who's just really struggling. I can be that refuge. Here's the other thing we say. Every member is a minister. That it's not just solely upon the quote-unquote pastors to do the ministry. In fact, you all have the power within you to do ministry. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God to do ministry. That God has positioned you as much the same as He's positioned this church to do ministry right where you're at, wherever you should go. You have the power to be a refuge and to reflect the true refuge that we have in God. I love this the best. This is, I believe this is one of the callings of every Christian, of every believer who's put their trust in Christ. You found it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You can turn there or you can just take a look up here. It says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Ha, that is great news. Let me just tell you. That wherever you're coming from today, that says that if you are in Christ, if you put your trust and faith and hope in Christ in the resurrection, in the covering over of all your sins, and you walk this life out with Him, then you are a new creation. He says, "The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You are new. Now, all things are of God who have reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And listen to what He's done. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You all have a ministry. Every member is a minister. Those who have put their faith in Christ, you are now a minister. I've now deputized you all, right? That you are now a minister, that you go out with this message. Reconciliation. That God is drawing creation to Himself by the blood of Christ, by the truth of the gospel, and He's using you and I to announce it to the world. In fact, look at what He goes, we go on. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's committed it to you and I, that's the ministry that we go out with. Now then, we are ambassadors. Did you know that? You're an ambassador of the King. You represent, you reflect the King. And our King, He loves people. And our King, He loves to provide refuge. In fact, that's the way sometimes He opens the door for reconciliation. Hey, I'll provide refuge for you. Hey, you need help financially? I'll give you a little finance to help, to get you by. Hey, you need someplace to stay? Come stay at my house, right? No, you all cannot come stay at my house. But people you know, people you're connected with. Hey, you need a room? I got a room for some time. Hey, you need someone to talk to at my cubicle? Come to my cubicle. Let's talk. Sit down for a little bit. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what's going on. Hey, how can I pray for you? That God has said, listen, you are an ambassador of the ministry of reconciliation. And sometimes He's using that open door for you to really preach and say, hey, there's a God who loves you. There's a family I know that you can be a part of. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. That is incredible news that you and I get to live with and share with people. And this is a great season to do that. The Christmas season opens the door for so many conversations. I heard there's a concert here next Sunday that you could invite someone to where there'll be ridiculously good music and they could just come and sit and experience the family of God here in this place. Hey, I got you a ticket. Come with me. Hey, you're lonely during the Christmas season? Hey, I got you a ticket. Would you come with me and my family to this? We'll go eat beforehand and it'll be awesome. You'll be so blessed. That God's people are always looking for ways to provide refuge. And refuge is always looking a way to do it better. We're always thinking, God, what would you have us do? How would you have us grow? I will just say this. Don't be restricted by the building. The building is great. It's an awesome God story, but it's just a tool that God is using. It's a gathering place where we'll have great fond memories and good things that we'll remember back, and you'll think, oh, I remember Refuge in this season, right? And it'll be great, and the place is important, but don't be restricted by the place. Don't think that all the ministry has to happen inside these walls. God has so much bigger things for you and I when we walk outside of these walls, that we become Refuge. And I will just tell you this, and here's where I'll close and have Jaden come back out. You guys do a great job of this. I am so blessed. I speak on behalf of Bill and Alan and the staff. And we feel so blessed to get to be a part of what God is doing in this place. And you do a great job of providing refuge. As I've walked through the hallways and I see people holding on to each other and praying and arms around each other and women's ministry that goes on here yesterday and collective, this a collective team of people trying to pull off this massive, massive event with over 450 ladies and a speaker who preaches the gospel, and there's community around these circle tables, that you all do a great job of this. Here's the thing I'm most excited about. We're not done. In fact, some of us are just starting of figuring out, God, what would you do to do this better here in this place? How can we better maximize the position that you've put us in the city of Huntington Beach? What does it look like, God? What would you have? What's the responsibility that you put on me, Jeff? What is the next step? What's the next season? And for you to ask that question of yourself, God, we're not done. We're just starting. What would you have us do as the people of Refuge? So I imagine some people would start ministries over the next coming years that would say, I feel like we need a refuge for this. I feel like these people need a refuge. I feel like we need to do better at this. So then God would say, hey, yeah, stand up. Let's do it. Let's figure out how we can better reach the city of Huntington Beach with the vision of becoming a refuge and pointing to the true refuge. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the vision that I believe you gave Bill many years ago in calling this place a refuge, and to then surround us with people who have that same vision, who want to be that for people, want to be a safe harbor for people, and people who are struggling and things that are going difficult in their life, that they would be able to come to a place and experience the person who is refuge and the people who say, we want to be the best refuge we can be for people. Lord, I pray for the years to come, Lord, that you'd always be enlivening us to this vision, calling us, awakening us, helping us to do it better, helping to honor you better and better and better. God, I thank you for the people that you've already brought to this place that in so many ways are that refuge for people and have been for many years. May we continue to grow in this. Lord, I pray over this morning, over each one of us, Lord, that you maybe have stirred something inside of us this morning to a person or a group of people where we felt like, man, I could do it better. Lord, I know you did that to me this week. I could do it better. So Lord, I pray you continue to keep us on track of who you want us to be as a people here at Refuge. Amen. I wanted to read just one thing with you real quick. It comes from the book Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness by Jerry Cook. Incredible book. Bill actually had our staff read it not too long ago. Here's what he says. In the kingdom of God, we first love and then move into acquaintance. I love that. We first love and then we move into that relationship. Love is a commitment and an operation independently of what we feel or what we do not feel. We need to extend this love to everyone. I want you to know that I'm committed to you. This is what he says. You'll never knowingly suffer at my hands. I'll never say or do anything knowingly to hurt you. I always, in every circumstance, seek to help you and support you. If you're down and I can lift you up, I will do that. Anything I have that you need, I will share with you. And if need be, I'll give it to you no matter what I find out about you, no matter what happens in the future, either good or bad. My commitment to you will never change, and there's nothing you can do about it. You don't have to respond. I love you, and that's what it means. And I would just say that typifies what we want to be as a people. We want to love first, get to know them second, and then provide what we can to say, listen, this is a safe harbor for you and a safe place. Amen?
Amen.
Have a great rest of your week.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714 891-9495. Set free.